Greetings there, ladies and gents. I am your host, Kim, and welcome to another episode of How to Get Away with Law, an official, unofficial podcast for the hit ABC show, How to Get Away with Murder. And today we are covering Season 2, Episode 5, Meet Bonnie. And disclaimer before I start the recap, what I like to do since I don't have a co-host is just go around the web and just pull up a recap from someone somewhere publicly on the net and use that as my recap so I can pretend like I am discussing the episode with somebody who has opinions and recaps the episode. However, it's done in my voice. But anyway, enough about that. It's time to get into that recap. This week's recap is brought to you by Joseph Weisner of www.tvovermind.com. Starts out, the second season of How to Get Away with Murder has so far proven to be even more engaging than the first. We're now through the first third of the season. Remember, How to Get Away with Murder season only consists of 15 episodes. So let's take a look at what happened in this week's episode, Meet Bonnie. As usual, the episode opens in a flash forward that reveals Bonnie and Asher were both at the scene of Annalise's attack and ADA Sinclair's murder. After that quick reveal, we jump back 3 weeks to the present day in which Bonnie tells Asher about how she killed Sam, something that we all know is a lie. Lisa Will has always been an underappreciated presence on How to Get Away with Murder, and this monologue where she bares her soul to Asher in a complete lie really furthers that belief. Her scene with Annalise right after in which she tells her boss about what she's done also serves the same purpose. Later on in the episode, she and Asher talk more about the night of the murder, and Will completely sells the emotion and vulnerability of her character. Asher decides to confront Annalise about framing Nate over Bonnie's role in the murder, and we're treated to another great Viola Davis performance as she explains her reasoning. It's crazy to actually think about how many of the relationships on this show are built around lies upon lies, but it adds to the complexity of all the characters in the main cast. For better or for worse, How to Get Away with Murder is juggling a ton of different storylines right now, so it makes sense that they won't all get their due diligence in every single episode. Knowing that, I appreciate the effort that the writers are making in giving each one the time it deserves. Each episode does this with varying success, but Meet Bonnie does it better than some have done in the past. The season-long For Now case dealing with the siblings accused of murder takes a larger role here as there's new cases of the week to deal with, and the revelations from that story greatly benefit the events that we've been seeing that will come in just a few weeks. There was also some time spent here, albeit brief, reminding the audience of Annalise's meeting with Mia, and I'm hoping that we get more of this later on. I mentioned earlier how so many relationships on this show are based around lies, but it's equally true that plenty of them are also based on real emotion. While nothing at all has played out how they would like, it's made clear, time and time again, including this week, that Annalise and Nate have real feelings for each other. There's also a great scene between Connor and Oliver where Connor reiterates his feelings for his boyfriend, and it's hard not to root for these two despite everything Connor has had to keep from him. We end up getting a lot of information about all of our stories in Meet Bonnie, and as you can tell by the name of the episode, we learn much more about Bonnie's past and her character than we knew before. This episode turned out to be a solid hour of How to Get Away with Murder, and I can't wait to see where we go from here as we get closer and closer to the events of the flash forwards. Okay, I'm not sure if we can, I guess, consider that a recap. Well, whatever. Anyway, I guess I sort of get in depth into this episode anyway. So let's go ahead and get into the episode comments, shall we? Speaking of recaps, I have to make a correction. So I thought the recap I found online last week was wrong. Bonnie definitely is not dead, but I was definitely right that Bonnie was present the night in that flash forward. So thank goodness we cleared that up. I was pretty sure Bonnie wasn't dead. Not sure what was going on with that recap and why that was said, but whatever. We made that clear. And I did make the assertion that I felt like Bonnie was part of this murder. I think I did that in episode 1 or 2. Now, this episode really tested my love for Asher, even though he is right to be selling these people out. I mean, they are all either murderers or they're involved in the murder or cover-up of the murder. I mean, we should be cheering for this guy. He's trying to do right. He's trying to work on the face of justice, you know. But at the same time, we've kind of come to love slash hate the Keating Killer 4, and Annalise and Bonnie and Frank. So naturally, we might be a little resistant to Asher selling them out and be upset about it. And that's the wonderful invention of TV now. There are anti-heroes we sometimes cheer on. You know, the people who are doing the wrong thing, killing people, all sorts of things, you know, Dexter, Breaking Bad, all that sort of stuff. And we're cheering on the bad guy. This is just TV. We're not saying that we would actually champion somebody killing people. It's just TV, people. Don't get it all exaggerated. And Bonnie, always willing to take the blame for Annalise, yes, definitely, but I never really gave much thought about it before, but she's also covering the asses of the students, which I guess she's sort of doing that out of loyalty to Annalise, but to take on something this huge for Annalise and the students, there's some serious sacrifices being taken to protect these students, and they seem a little ungrateful, but we'll talk about what happens about that ungratefulness later on. Bonnie, I wonder if the lie she was telling Asher about killing Sam is actually what happened to her in regard to what we see later in this episode as well, which would make the account she's telling him sort of true, just the wrong person. And I'll delve into that a little bit later when we get to the shocking end of this episode. By the way, I really like this episode a lot. Connor, of course, once again, driving me super crazy. He handles all his stress and guilt by being pretty much an impulsive jerk. He's just outwardly, he tries to act like he doesn't care, and he's just popping open a beer and saying, "Hey, everybody, you know, she's going to boss us around, control our lives. You know, everybody just pop open a beer. Who cares? She's controlling us, blah, 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 blah." And everybody deals with their stress and fear in different ways, but every now and then Connor just kind of drives me insane with the way he handles things. He's always freaking out. One of my favorite exchanges between Annalise and Frank happens when they're in the office with Bonnie. And Annalise says, "I caught Wes and Nate together last night." And Frank says, "Screwing." I mean, I'm not sure why it was funny, but it was funny to me. And I laughed every single time I watched this episode. Maybe it's not funny to you, so maybe I'll just move on. I can't stand seeing Sinclair's face, even though I know she eventually dies. And, you know, she might be right to be trying to take down Annalise. And once again, here we go. I'm disliking Sinclair and her face and everything she's doing, but she's probably right to be trying to take down Annalise at this point, because Annalise has been doing some dirty, tricky, sneaky things, covering up murders. So Sinclair is actually probably the good guy on the face of this, trying to expose injustice. But of course, we all dislike her because she wants to expose somebody that we all love, Annalise. So that makes her the bad guy, and that makes her face still unbearable for me to see. That actress is doing a good job of making me not like Sinclair. Now, when Sinclair and Asher and his dad meet up, and Asher decides, "Oh yeah, well he knows who killed Sam," he says. He wants to work out a new deal, an immunity deal, and just from the title, it makes sense. We know what he's talking about, but I want to dive into an immunity deal and see, just get a little more of an understanding of what you can do with an immunity deal. So we're going to move into what I call the law term for this podcast, and of course, is immunity deal. And an immunity is an exemption from penalties, payments, or legal requirements granted by authorities or statutes. Generally, there are three types of immunity at law. A promise not to prosecute for a crime in exchange for information or testimony in a criminal matter granted by the prosecutors, a judge, a grand jury, or an investigating legislative committee. B, public officials' protection from liability for their decisions, like a city manager or member of public, hospital board. C, governmental or sovereign immunity, which protects government agencies from lawsuits unless the government agreed to be sued. D, diplomatic immunity, which excuses a foreign ambassadors from most U.S. criminal laws. Now, what are the two types of immunity offered by the prosecution? A witness may be granted immunity from prosecution by way of federal or state law. Immunity is granted in exchange for a witness's testimony about a certain event. There are two types of immunity available. use immunity or transactional immunity. Now, a little bonus info here, which I found is something called a proffer agreement, and I'll go ahead and explain what that is. Proffer or Queen for Day letters are written agreements between federal prosecutors and individuals under criminal investigation, which permit these individuals to tell the government about their knowledge of crimes with the supposed assurance that their words will not be used against them in any later proceedings. The individuals can either be witnesses, subjects, or targets of a federal investigation, although it is subjects and targets who provide most proffers. If you enter into one of these agreements, you will proffer information orally in a proffer or queen for a day session attended by you, your attorney, the assistant U.S. attorney, and one or more federal agents. In recent times, regulatory attorneys have been attending proffer sessions when the government is engaged in parallel civil and criminal investigations. You should think of a proffer session as a sneak preview in which you show the federal authorities what you can bring to the table if they cut a deal with you. Most proffers are made with the informal understanding that the government, if satisfied that you're telling the truth in the proffer session, will subsequently enter into a formal written immunity agreement or plea bargain agreement with you. And there you go. Got some more details into what an immunity deal is and what a proffer is. I hope you now feel educated. Now back to the comments about this episode. Sinclair's whole game in the deadline was a dirty, dirty play, but it's fair that she decided, you know, I'm going to slip in at 4:58 and put in this little evidence here. I mean, it's fair against Annalise Keating. I like when people are formidable against Annalise, because Annalise should always be faced with an obstacle that isn't easily ascended. That's called good storytelling. I was told in film classes and in English classes in college that you should take your hero and just mire them in loads and loads of shit and these obstacles that seem insurmountable, and then of course have them overcome them, or maybe not overcome all of them. That's good storytelling. It's realistic. It's much more entertaining than winning all the damn time. Now, Bonnie threw Frank under the bus too when Asher asked her about, you know, who helped drag Sam's body out to the woods, because of course Annalise and Bonnie couldn't just drag this heavy man's body out to the woods. But then again, the idea of Frank being involved in this whole thing wouldn't be a surprise in the first place, so it's not really exactly throwing him under the bus. He did help, and come on. I mean, it'd be weird if they tried to say that Frank wasn't involved. He's hot, but he's a shady character, so of course you gotta throw him in there. It wouldn't make sense if you tried to say, no, Frank had no clue about it, because he has a clue about everything. In the scene, I had the feels when Asher asked Bonnie if she came over to his place the night of the bonfire as an alibi for the murder. And it was as if she had, like, not thought of that angle when she first took on this lie to save the students' asses. And having to say it was for an alibi just broke her. I mean, another sacrifice that she has to make in order to lie for other people. She had to take her feelings aside and realize, oh yeah, I'm going to have to lie to him and say, yeah, I only slept with you as an alibi. But no, you know, that's how it started. But, you know, that's not how it's ending. So another sacrifice. She obviously didn't need him as an alibi. She wanted to sleep with him. So it just looked like, I mean, she deflated at that moment when she had to lie like that. And we get back to Annalise's place, and I just love how Annalise takes Michaela's phone so she would stop talking to Levi. And Lisa didn't look out of character. Nobody was suspicious that she was taking the phone because she was worried about Michaela talking to Eggs 911. Seems like something Annalise would do, straight take your phone and just say, you don't need this crap. Get the stuff I told you to get done. Don't whine to me about your damn phone. Get to work. Annalise says she's going to kick some ass when she leaves her office, but ass-kicking doesn't look at all like what she does when she meets up with Nate. I mean, she always looks so damn vulnerable with him, and that has to do with her feelings for him and his feelings for her and probably her feelings for protecting the puppy, but more so finding out what she saw Nate and Wes discussing outside of the hospital. But of course, she fails in this and doesn't get that information. And I guess I might be wrong about the possible hand exchange that was featured so prominently in that that episode when Annalise meets with Nia, and she sees Nia at the courthouse and doesn't admit that when she saw Nia, Nia asked her to kill her, and it looked like they had this exchange where she touched his hand and Nia's hand goes in the jacket pocket, and they flash back to it later when she's going to Nia's room at the hospital to tell her she wasn't going to kill her, and they show it again in the flashback, and I was thinking, that looks really significant. Why would they show that? So I'm not exactly convinced that nothing was exchanged there, so I'm not going to let that go. Not yet, anyway, until they disprove me. And just, oh geez, Laurel and Frank are banging again. I wish that this wasn't ABC and it was like, I don't know, HBO, because I wanted to see the frontal view of Laurel's releasing of the over-the-shoulder boulder holder, because if I was going to get anything out of that scene, it'd be some boobs. Whatever. Now, if anyone watches the TV show The Flash on CW, because it's one of the, that and Arrow is all I will ever watch on the CW, because that, whatever, I'll stop dissing that station. But anyway, if anybody watches The Flash, you'll get this reference. Why don't they ever lock the door or put a damn bell over the doorway to announce people's arrival? In The Flash, people just walk in and out of Star Labs like there was no door at all or whatever. I mean, security people. And the Keating Law Firm is just letting rude, angry Calebs wander on in to hear about, you know, racist aunts and or housekeeper, all sorts of people just saying terrible things. I don't know. Maybe you should get a bell over that door so you know when people are walking in there. It's a law firm, and you know Annalise is doing all sorts of people wrong. Somebody would walk in there with a gun one day and shoot people down. You know, when you have a deadbeat parent and you want to wish and hope that they for once are thinking of you only and not themselves, you feel crushed and stupid for thinking anything would ever change with them. Poor Asher. His father is the real douche face for worrying about his own ass in this Charter Lake business. By the way, that we still don't know the details about. How do we not know the details about Charter Lake? Are they just going to brush that right under the rug and just make us think, oh, it was something so huge, we're just going to sweep that under the rug and just kind of tell you guys this was the impetus for Asher getting in this situation and selling people out. We're not really going to go into Charter Lake. Do you guys really want more stuff to complicate all the layers we put on this show? Yeah, I want that complication. What the hell is Charter Lake? Michaela was sly with getting to the heart of Connor's agitation. I like how he wanted to confide in Oliver, but was scared to. Nothing like a well-planned bathroom break to get two people to talk truth alone together. Though he didn't reveal the real dirt, he just kind of hinted, oh, you know, I might go to jail. Love you. I love that the court just didn't take the new evidence of the dash cam audio where the police just deleted the audio, the video, but somehow forgot to remove the audio. And it was questioned and struck from the record. Finally, something that made sense, and it wasn't TV just glossing over that issue, just saying, nobody would question that. We're just hoping nobody in the audience noticed that. This is a big deal. They're going to wonder, how the heck did you get this information? You couldn't have gotten this legally. We should investigate that. Finally, something turns on Annalise and doesn't work. They have to strike that from the record. That sounds realistic to me, and I hope this investigation happens to make Annalise's life more miserable and more things she has to tie up. Even though I love Annalise, I don't want to have to make too many things stressful for her, but this would just make sense, and it'd be realistic, and it's more drama. And then Catherine's outburst in court. How often does this happen in the real world? I just feel like I don't have enough time in the world to search out court cases where people just burst out on the stand, or like somebody was on the stand, and the person who's being prosecuted just starts screaming at them and just kind of making it obvious that they might be somewhat guilty. I don't know. It's just, I guess it works best for TV, so whatever. And you know what, Wes, puppy, Mr. Weightless, you're a fool. Trusting Levi to handle talking to the guy at the cemetery. I mean, I'd be angry too if I was Levi. I was in a situation where I have no clue where my foster sister is. I think these people have murdered her, and she might be have just been dumped in a cemetery, probably in an unmarked grave, never to be seen. But geez, I don't know, threaten a person with a gun? I don't know, maybe they were thinking, He's like, well, these people must be violent people, so I shall meet them with violence. Whatever. Levi's creepy. You know, I was super angry at the students for getting in Bonnie's face like that, blaming her, wanting to put stuff on her. And thank you, Annalise, for reminding the students that she, Frank, and Bonnie have always been about covering their little asses. And, of course, Michaela feels super guilty, as they should. And once again, they need reminded yet again that everything they're doing, taking the brunt of everything, setting up these lies, framing Nate, this has all been to cover them. And they just seem ungrateful. But of course, they're scared and worried. But still, they're ungrateful. Annalise smartly feeds Nate the Bonnie lie, even though she insists he deserves the truth. Yeah, like she's ever given him the whole truth. Well, she just fed him another lie. But, you know, they love each other. Whatever. Blah. Then, finally, the Keating Killer 4 find out who Eggs 911 is. And, of course, suddenly, the cops show up. And even from the preview when they tried to keep showing you that the cops show up and they're like, oh my gosh, it's happening. Yeah, come on. Like, this is going to happen in season 5 and they get caught. Of course, they were coming after Levi because Frank planted all this drugs up in the back of Levi's car. And none of the students want to help Levi. I mean, would you help him? I'd be like, please, let him go away. The dude's crazy, and I'd rather him go away than anybody start questioning me about the situation that's going on. And why didn't the cops say anything to the students? Like, you know, you're hanging around with this dude who was selling a lot of drugs. Where are you hanging out with this guy? Were you going to buy from him? Are you his customers? You help him out? Why didn't they ask anything of the students? But the one thing I did laugh at, they called Levi Heisenberg. I mean, Breaking Bad is officially a pop culture reference. I mean, it's been for a while, but it's like Game of Thrones. When you get referenced in another hit show, your show is awesome. And if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, watch it. Maybe you are scared of drugs. It's a good show. It's not going to make you want to make meth or take meth, trust me. Great show. Now, I didn't really believe Asher would choose Bonnie over testifying when they met up at the bar. But at least they do exchange the L word before Asher lowers the boom. And it's like, oh, I can't. You know, I love you, but I can't let this go on. And I feel bad for Bonnie. It's so bad. She's just so broken down that she failed and she thinks she's stupid. And that she's willing to go down for all of this. And I felt so bad that I almost forgot she murdered Rebecca. Then I feel a little less sorry. So she's a murderer. Just not a murderer of Sam. Still a murderer. And come on, everyone. You knew Rebecca's body wouldn't be in a suitcase in a storage place as the solitary lone item just in a storage place. Really, that'd be ridiculous. Like, Frank would do that. But that didn't make it any less stomach upsetting. I think I totally would have tried to take the money with me that was in the suitcase. Yet, then again, maybe you don't want to mess with Frank. So maybe you don't want to take the money. You don't want him after you. And I knew him leaving a key that obviously labeled the storage place was too clumsy for Frank to have done unless he did that on purpose. Nobody was fooled. The case evidence Annalise shows Asher at the end of the episode, I feel as if Bonnie may have actually killed her father and she turned that murder into her story about how she killed Sam, but might be the story of how she killed her dad, because obviously he was into playing disgusting sexual games with his daughter. And I'm assuming Annalise probably rescued him from that. Maybe it was a case where maybe, I don't know, Bonnie was blamed or Bonnie's mom was being blamed or something happened. And Annalise was the one who saved Bonnie from, you know, her life getting worse. And maybe that's why she owes Annalise so much, is that she literally did save her, like she said in episodes ago, that Annalise saved her. And this is why she feels like she owes everything to Annalise, because Annalise helps her out of this life away from her disgusting, ugh, terrible father. Now, just, do you think this will be the end of the whole Rebecca search? Like, for now, at least. Come on. They're not going to just bury that story, like how they possibly buried Rebecca. I don't know. Where is that chick's body? Like I said last episode, the smart move would have been to cremate her so there wouldn't be any evidence. But how do you think Wes is going to let this go? He's just kind of He's always a suspicious guy, always searching, so I don't know. Maybe he'll keep looking. And how long do you think Levi will be in jail or whatever, or how's this going to happen? And come on, let's maybe make a bet on what season Levi gets out of jail and starts making trouble. Maybe in like season 4 he like gets out of jail and uh-oh, he's trouble again. Now, back to the flash forward at the end of this episode, maybe I was right that Bonnie killed Sinclair. Once again, I've been harping on this last episode and this episode saying that I feel like Bonnie was part of this. I said there was a duo of Bonnie and Asher that killed Sinclair. And Bonnie's all covered in blood and running from the house. And then she runs to that gas station, cleans herself off. So I'm still feeling like somehow in this mix-up, Bonnie and Asher were there for a different reason. Annalise and the killer Keating 4 were there for a different reason. And all this mess went down. And Asher still cannot win the battle against his conscience. He just has to turn the group in to the police. Has to make a confession. Asher seems like he has to be the next person to be murdered because he's a loose end. That's going to get them in trouble. It might have to be Bonnie that has to kill him. Or maybe they're going to just throw us a curveball and his statement actually isn't that he's going to turn in Bonnie and Annalise and the other students. He's going to wrap some other story that somebody else killed Sinclair. Just throw us a curveball. Because it looks like so many times he wanted to just give in and tell on Bonnie and Annalise and the crew, but then from this flash forward tells us that at some point he's hanging out with Bonnie. I mean, it doesn't look like she was holding him captive when she ran from the house covered in blood. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Send me some feedback. Let me know what your theories and thoughts of this episode and the series in general, or where do you think it's going, or what you think this flash forward is and where it's leading. What you think about the Caleb and Catherine situation or anything. Let me know. And you can do that by either emailing. You can type out an email, or you can record an audio file somehow, maybe record it on your phone or computer, attach that to an email and send it to howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. You can send a 140-character tweet at getawaywithlaw, or search out the Facebook and just search How to Get Away with Law. And seriously, leave me some comments. Even if you're like, you just want to say, this show is terrible, or this podcast is terrible, or I hate your voice, or I think this show is great. I only listen to this podcast. There's only 2 about how to get away with murder. Whatever you want to say. Insults, good stuff, or me, whatever. I still want to hear from you. Whatever you got to say. And please, please, go to iTunes and rate the podcast. And like I said, I like 5s, but give whatever stars you feel this deserves. And just leave a comment if you can, so we can boost the show up so that more people can hear about the show and discuss. And guys, this is a great show. So why not spread How to Get Away with Murder to your friends? And then we can all come back to How to Get Away with Law and talk to each other, get some theories in, because I really, really am not sure where we're going with this season, but I'm liking it. So until next time, and of course, this means get your feedback in before this coming Monday, before I record the next podcast. And until then, this has been your host, Kim.